All right. This session for topic option night is talking about helping people struggling with their sexual identity. So the bottom line is it's going to be a basic look at the theology of sexuality. Several people have asked so far, and it would cover boys or girls. Obviously, I deal with girls, so my examples will be from the girl side. But this is basic stuff that you just need to know if you're working with anybody in this that has struggles in this area. So this is kind of a hard topic, so I would like to start with prayer and ask God to help me to make sure that I'm clear. Dear God, we are just amazed at the plan that you put together for us. It includes so many facets that each facet has the opportunity to bring glory to you as we are simply enjoying our relationship with you. God, I pray that you will help me to be clear tonight, to speak, to honor you, help the guest at the conference to be able to understand what's presented and for the information to be clear enough that they could go back home and help somebody who's struggling right now. God, please bless this time. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so we don't really practice like the art of being super duper discreet where I work, so we're just gonna talk about this kind of open. I work for Vision of Hope, which is a residential treatment center for girls here on our campus. And, you know, we're dealing with real life, so we're going to talk about this the same way. I'm really concerned about this topic for several reasons. I want to make sure that we're not just relegating this topic to people who don't believe in God or value His Word. So I have daughters who ask a zillion questions, and they're around a bunch of pregnant girls or girls that have done drugs and have a zillion questions. So one of the reasons I'm kind of passionate about this topic is because I have to deal with it every day in my work, but also every day at home as my little girls are processing the fact that there's so much sexuality around them. And we live in a world where I had the official talk with my daughter when she was 7. Because she was asking so many questions that made me have to do it. Like, I really tried to get out of it every way I could. And she would ask, so where did that baby in that girl's tummy come from? And I said, well, you know, the special way God designed it to happen. That's how it got there. And she was like, yeah, but what is that special way? And she just had so many questions because it's everywhere. We're not all like legalistic about TV or whatever, but we really kind of limit what our kids watch because, you know, it's not pure. But even like our iCarly is full of sexuality, and, you know, SpongeBob SquarePants has sexuality stuff in it. So it's everywhere. So I want to know that my kids heard about it from me and that they heard the biblical approach, and we talk about it all the time. My kids are so excited to get married and have babies one day, but they know that that's the way that it works, that God says this is the design and then this is the function. So I'm passionate because it affects my life so intimately, but I'm also passionate because God says it doesn't take too long of doing something before it becomes a habit. And I feel so strongly that we're one generation away from chaos, because a generation ago, things that were totally that are currently totally not taboo, were taboo. And now one generation later, they're not at all, even risque. So I want to make sure that we are going to be people that stand for what's true, because it doesn't take too long before habits of unrighteousness become what characterizes our whole culture. And then finally, why I want to talk about this is I think that God designed people to be like Caleb, who saw the mountain and they were like, we're taking the mountain. We are biblical counselors. It's our job to be energetic about changing the world as we see it. If no one is going to light the fire, then who is? We are the generation that is going to light fires and get things accomplished. So if we're not willing to talk about sex, I don't know who is. We have to be willing to talk about hard stuff. But I am passionate that me and all the girls that I influence will know that we can be the generation that brings us back to an understanding of how to live every facet of our lives in a way that glorifies God. So we can't be afraid of talking about hard stuff. One of the disclaimers that I'm going to make early on in this is you're not going to hear me, unless I say it accidentally because I'm nervous or something, but you won't hear me use the terms gay or lesbian. I feel like really strongly that I shouldn't use a word that says, because you perform this set of behaviors, this becomes your identity. So I just encourage you to think about that. I'm a sinner, a ridiculously stupid sinner, bottom line. But my identity is in Jesus Christ, not in the behaviors that I do. And it is as totally hopeless to say, I see you as this kind of a person. There's no answer for being a lesbian in the Bible. There's no answer for being gay. There is an answer for sinning. And we're going to talk about it from that perspective. And I also want to close this off by saying, I feel a little bit motherish about the girls that I work with. And you better not mess with my girls, because I love them. And we sacrifice to love them. And so this is real with a lot of the girls that we work with. And I think it's really important that we are very compassionate with how we talk about this. God doesn't have like a special section of hell for people who practice homosexuality. Sin is sin is sin is sin. And homosexual sin has the same level of importance as heterosexual sin. And we're not going to talk about it like it's some special sin. It's a sin. It's the bottom line. Anything outside of God's definition of sex and love and marriage is sin. So we're going to hold up the definitions, and then we're going to kind of compare what's happening in our culture to those definitions. Okay, so here's the issue. Sexual deviancy is beginning to be more and more commonplace issue being faced in counseling. We're not going to have to dig very deep to have any form of sexual deviancy coming up in our counselees. I actually believe it's more common for us to have people who have a wide variety of sexual past. I don't know that I hardly counsel anyone that don't have some form of inappropriate sexual behavior in their past. So, to be honest, sexual relationships are so frequent that the fact they're deviant from Scripture won't even be noticeable to anyone until you start bringing up Scripture and comparing it. So if I were to ask, like, so go ahead and tell me about your sexual past as part of our data gathering or whatever, like, they're not even going to tell me a whole bunch of stuff because they don't even know that it's inappropriate. So, you know, we deal with it at some point. We ask lots of questions in our applications for it to come to Vision of Hope. But, you know, you have to set the definition to even know that there's anything wrong with what's happening. Secondly, this sexual deviancy is not limited to the public or non-believing world. I don't have to look very far to see it in my own youth group at my own church. And I know who I counsel, and it's not just girls that don't go to our church. So this is pretty common no matter where we're looking. And then children and adults from churches all over the nation are beginning to experience greater temptations, opportunities, and methods of sexual deviancy. It's just overwhelming. Everywhere you look, there's sexual deviancy, and we don't put blinders on our baby's eyes just because they come from a Christian family. They're seeing it, even if we're not letting them watch it on TV. So here's a couple of examples that I'm just going to use to illustrate a point. Okay, the first example is something called sexting. If you don't know what this is, you need to find out because it's important. So I'm going to demonstrate it right now in a not sinful way. Okay, this is my phone. I love it. Sometimes I hate it because they call me all the time on it. But this is my phone, and I can do anything I want with my phone and automatically, immediately post it to the internet. So right now, I just took a picture of you, and I posted it to Facebook. It took 10 seconds. Okay? All sexting is using digital devices like this to take pictures that are lewd or inappropriate or pornographic and share them all over the internet. So in the last 24 months, I have counseled so many situations with Christian kids that got caught up in sexting. So it seems very innocent. It's just a camera. It's just on my phone and whatever. I'm dating him. I don't care if he sees that. The problem is that picture that I could text to you, you can text to 400 more people, and 400 more people can text to 400 more people. And by the time you're done, we had one school district here in our area that had a school-wide problem because a couple inappropriate pictures it was like wildfire. So here's the deal legally, and I know, I mean, this isn't all about legal stuff, but there are legal stuff involved with sexuality, that legally, if you look at a text or a Facebook or anything with a pornographic picture of a child, you committed a felony. So if you send it, you committed a second felony. So the deal is, with our little girls that we're dealing with and with anyone that you're counseling, we have girls that we're counseling that could end up on sex offenders registries for the rest of their life.